Well, welcome back to more open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. Looking forward to this. Lots of folks already on hold, so we'll get to you when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And let's go to the island of Kauai in Hawaii. Charles is with us. Hey, Charles, go ahead.
Okay, my thinking on that was to set an explosive off above the any passages in the ground and have it smash them closed.
What are you talking about, Charles? Charles, what are you
talking about? I'm talking about the fire in St. Louis.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right.
So you set the explosives off, and it crushes the passages between the present burning and the radioactive dump.
But won't that scatter the radioactive waste everywhere?
No, if there's enough room laterally, first you'd see where some porosity was with ground-penetrating radar. Then you'd set some explosives above it to crush those underground passages. And if you got to the top, you'd tamp the explosives with water so that if the water blew into the air, it would disperse and wouldn't hurt anybody.
Is it risky?
But I don't know if the military knows how to do that, but it's keeping it classified. But
yeah, you may be right.
It seems reasonable, though, people think about it and work on it.
What a mess. I may go see that when I go out to St. Louis, and as we get closer to Thanksgiving, I'm going back to see the family. But, whoa, what a mess that is. He's talking about the landfill near Bridgeton, Missouri, where it has been burning for 5 years underground. A landfill. But the landfill is getting very close to a radioactive waste dump that has been going on since World War II. And who knows how much waste is there. Derek's in St. Louis. Hi, Derek. You're right there, aren't you?
Yeah, I actually talked to you yesterday about the
yes.
Lake that we couldn't swim in. I found out what that contamination was. It actually didn't have anything to do with radiation. It was a chemical or a pesticide that they used that they outlawed in the 70s. Farmers used it, the golf course right there used it, and also nurseries used it. But it doesn't break down. It takes a long time to break down. It actually attaches to the soil at the bottom of the lake. Then the fish feed off of it. That's why they wouldn't let us swim or eat the fish out of that lake. It's actually low enough now where it's not as bad as it was when I was a teenager.
Well, I got to tell you, though, that this could be a catastrophe of biblical proportions, to be sure. Tom, you got another text message for us. What do you have?
This one's from Angela in Minnesota. Love open lines. Please pick my text because I'm dying to ask George if he thinks the middle class will keep declining or be back like it was.
Well, it all depends, I think, on who gets picked in office. Simple as that. And the way it's going, the middle class is going to be gone, totally. You'll have the haves and the have-nots. You won't have anybody in between, and that's a huge problem. Now, if the right person comes into office and changes that, so be it. I don't see that happening right now. Patrick in Boise, Idaho. Go ahead, Patrick. It's your turn.
Hey, George, thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
I hope I'm not throwing you for a loop on this, but I heard other people talking about kind of Halloween memories, and I know it's not ghost to ghost.
That's okay.
I did want to share with you something that, when I'm in my 50s, so when I was a kid, it wasn't at all unusual for us to get, like, candied popcorn balls or carameled apples, when we were trick-or-treating. And here where I'm from, in Idaho, it wasn't uncommon, but when we'd get it, it was just, score, we got it. We'd beef jerky. They would hand out beef jerky, venison jerky. I mean, it's
God, I would want it in the package sealed as opposed to just dropped into the bag. How did they, what did they do?
No, there'd be a bowl, and you'd reach in and grab all the jerky that you want, like venison jerky or something like that, right? But I got to tell you, when I was just a little kid prior to being a teenager, I don't know, 9 or 10, there was a few of us, and maybe, I think we were probably exploring the trick side of trick-or-treating. And I remember that we went up to this one place, and this was a great town to trick-or-treat in. Every house, it was just fantastic. And I don't really know why it happened, but house had a whole bunch of pumpkins around it. And I remember that a buddy of mine ended up, well, he actually stole a pumpkin, and we ended up running. There's four of us. We're just little kids, right? And for us, that was like a big deal. That was like the kype of the century. It was the big holdup. We stole a pumpkin, and we're running down the pavement. My buddy hands me the pumpkin, and I take the pumpkin, and I'm running. And there's all four of us, these little kids. We're running down the road, and I'm carrying that pumpkin. But the weight of the pumpkin ends up just dropping me to the pavement. I drop the pumpkin. The pumpkin rolls out in front of me, and it rolls for some time, and it veers to the right. So my buddy's to the left. I'm on the pavement. Pumpkin veers to the right, and it, just like out of a bowling alley, knocks my two buddies to the right, and hits the pumpkin. They both fell over. And here I am all these decades later, and I still remember that. That we stole it, but it was just one of the most classic things that you could ever imagine for Halloween.
I would have thought the pumpkin would have smashed when you dropped it, but you didn't.
Well, it wasn't. This was a solid pumpkin that wasn't carved.
Oh, well, so it had the entire weight to it.
Yeah. And I'm just like 9 or 10 years old, Karen. God knows what it was, 10 or 15.
I used to love reaching into the pumpkin and pulling that gook out.
Oh, yeah.
That was something.
Yeah, and taking the seeds, you know.
Oh, it just amazed me how many seeds were in that thing.
Oh, if nobody's ever taken a moment to, you know, take the extra time, you'll find it well worth it to take the seeds out, separate it from the gook, or whatever you called it. Take the time, and then you bake those seeds, a little bit of salt on top of it.
Oh, it's great. Oh, my mother used to do that. She used to just dry them out, put them in the oven, and they were amazing.
That's a part of Halloween, and that's just. I'll tell you, some of these memories, things like that, they'll stick with you forever. But thanks for having me on that.
Yeah, you got that. Or you could dry the seeds out and plant them, which was also really cool. I got to tell you, as a kid, there was nothing more fascinating than watching and watching and watching a pumpkin grow from a little seed. I mean, it was really something else. I mean, I really enjoyed it. Let's go to the Bronx, east of the Rockies. Welcome to the show, Tom. Go ahead.
George, hey. Glad to be on.
Thank you.
I'd like to say this, that years back, I was on like a small trip, and I went up to Boston to see the Pilgrims and the Cassiteers. I don't know whether you ever heard of them, and the bus. But anyway, I was in this hotel room, and it was sleeping, and all of a sudden, you know, I started to say ma ma ma. Well, my mother was in the Bronx over here, the building where I am now,
mm-hmm.
and with my father, and she was sleeping, and believe it or not, we had communication. She heard my voice on this end, and like in a sleeping daze, I can almost see her and my father right in the room where I was,
the hotel room where I was.
This adds to like ghost stories, but this is a true story. And all of a sudden, my father told her, Tom isn't here. Tom went on this trip. Well, when I got home, I started telling my mother the same story, what happened. And she said, yes, I heard your voice. And the mind is actually, it's like a radio signal. It was a, she was able to hear me. I was able to hear her, believe it or not.
That's magic.
That adds to these ghost stories, too, when people that see things in a room and all that. So there is, mentally, there is a connection between humans like that, you know, like One Step Beyond. You ever remember One Step
Beyond? Classics. I loved it.
Well, that was always... the guy dressed like he was in a funeral home, the guy that ran that program, to me anyway.
One step.
But that's the story I have for you anyway.
Okay. Hey, thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. We go to Portland, Oregon. Dr. Sleepless is there. You never sleep, do
Hello,
you?
Hello, George.
Hey,
how are you doing tonight?
Good, Doc. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I just wanted to say something about this thing called the end times. My question is, the end of what? Is it the end of income inequality? Is it the end of bad government? If it's the end of those things, I'm all for it. So personally, I would like people to visualize positive as far as the end times are concerned, because there's a lot of good things coming down the pike. I have it on good authority.
I hope you're right. Yeah, now, is this the end of the beginning, or is it the beginning of the end? That is the question. We have now Ryan in Vancouver in the state of Washington. Hello, Ryan. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I'm just across the river from Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, yes, you are. It's a great area out there.
Yeah, I'll keep this quick. I know you were in the Navy.
Yep, 9 years.
I'm wondering, your father, he was a World War II veteran.
Yes, he was.
My grandfather was on a flat top aircraft carrier during, you know, I think he was even at one of the battles of Iwo Jima. But I'll keep it quick. What branch was he in?
He was in the Army, and he was in the Battle of the Bulge.
Oh, he's okay against the Germans over there. Oh,
yep.
Wow. You were talking about the witches so much, I started thinking of Agnes Moorhead and Elizabeth Montgomery in that show Bewitched.
I love that show.
Oh, that woman, they were both beautiful women.
When she twinkled her nose, I loved it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mean to ramble. I go off. I got OCD, so I go off on stuff different subjects. Now, you have a good night, okay?
Okay, you too.
Love talking with you.
Thanks. Those were classic old TV shows. They really were. And they don't do it like that anymore. They really don't. Don is in Oregon. Hello, Don. Go ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, George.
Hey, Donald.
Hey, this end times thing. Well, first off, let me preface this.
Okay.
Have Tom tell you the story how we live in the same neighborhood separated by 55 years. See if he remembers that.
You and Tom?
Yeah, we live in the same neighborhood separated by 55 years.
All right.
I live there now. I used to live there 55 years ago.
Okay, I will do that.
Anyway, about the end times, isn't that kind of relative? I mean, you know, we've seen three snowball Earths. We've had volcanisms. Civilizations have come and gone. And, you know, with all the fur, the only difference now is we have nuclear weapons. But I think if we bombed ourselves to oblivion, the planet would recover and, go on with it.
Sure. I think it's happened before, don't you?
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Yeah, this planet has been crushed before, and civilizations have been crushed, yet it keeps bouncing back over and over again. It's very resilient. We have Charles in Baltimore. Welcome to the show. Hey, Charles, go ahead.
Yes. First of all, I want to pay you a compliment, and I didn't have a chance to do it, so I'll do it now, okay?
All right.
I'm the blind person. He talked about tiger, and that was really tough when you talked about dogs. And, you know, you really have a soft spot in your heart for people. You really do. So
well, thank you.
I want to thank you for that. And I got a couple of jokes for you, too, but I do want to thank you for that.
All right. You're very welcome. I appreciate that.
Go ahead. You know, so that was tough. But, you know, that's life, and life goes on. Now, I got a couple jokes for you.
All right.
A couple ghost jokes.
A ghost.
You know, went by your producer, your phone screener. You know, this is not to offend. You know, I have a sense of humor.
As long as it's not bad language or anything like that.
Right. No, it isn't. Okay. Who visits a cemetery after dark?
Who visits a cemetery after dark? I don't know.
Casper.
Casper.
Okay. What do they call a funeral home after everybody leaves?
What do they call a funeral home after everybody leaves? What?
A haunted house.
Those are so bad, they're funny.
Yeah, well, good. You're supposed to laugh. I love to hear you laugh. Here's another one. Okay. Why do they close the gate after dark at the cemetery?
Why do they close the gate after dark at the cemetery? Because people are dying to get in?
Well, that's one. Another one. Another one is keep the dead people in and keep the live people out.
Yep. All right. Something like that. Thanks, Charles. Call in on open lines on Ghost to Ghost with better jokes, if you would. Much better. Let's go to Jeff in Hutchinson, Kansas, right there in the plains of the Midwest. Jeffrey, you're up with us.
Yes, good morning, George.
Hi. How are you, Jeff?
Oh, pretty good. I had a couple things for now. I was going to tell you something that happened here in town. When I was a kid, I had to be like 4 or 5 years old because my sister came around when I was six. And my mom used to put a TV tray in front of the front door on the porch with candy and a note there that said, please don't take it all, take one or two at a time. And we'd go out walking around the neighborhood, and we'd come back, and there'd always be candy left. Nobody'd steal it all.
Oh, nowadays, it's gone.
Yeah, but the whole porch would be gone.
The porch is gone. The bucket is gone. Everything's gone.
We had a lady that lived a couple blocks away, and I don't know. I was a little kid, so this big pot seemed like it was bigger, but she had a big pot that acted like it was boiling. Nowadays, I think it must have been maybe, you know, dry ice or something. And she was dressed great in a witch outfit that scared me. And she would give away all this free candy and caramel apples and all kinds of stuff. And it was great.
I loved caramel apples. I still do. I haven't had one in a long time, but they are good. Not the ones that are really hard, but with the softer caramel.
You're talking about candy.
Yeah, the candy apples I didn't like.
Yeah, I didn't like those either. We have a huge 4-story building that's still here in town. In fact, there's a family that owns it and is living in it now. And it was a warehouse/manufacturing candy company. And this was many years ago, and one of the owners was found. He was laying on the floor facing the elevator like he was looking down into the well of the elevator, but the elevator came down and decapitated him.
Oh, my God.
So you know where they found his head. But they always said it was an accident, that he must have heard something and looking in it. But no one knew if it was, you know, somebody was murdered.
Way to die. I assume it was pretty darn quick, wasn't it?
You would think so.
Oh, my gosh. You would hope so. I mean, I was reading reports on plane crashes. Don't ask me why. And they were hypothesizing on people on how long that they lived in the planes that went down. This was the one that crashed over Ukraine that was hit by the missile built in Russia. And they were talking about whether people were alive or they died instantly, they lost oxygen, how did they do that? Gosh, I would hope for anybody's sake that it happens so quickly, so very fast, that they just don't feel any pain at all. Anyways, a couple little quick business notes, too. Make sure you like us on Facebook. You can do that by going to coasttocoastam.com. Follow us on Twitter. We send notes out for you every day. Don't forget to sign up if you're single at paranormaldate.com. We're approaching 28,000 members now, and my goal is to get us to 34,000 by the end of December. So jump on board with that. They are actively working on a reality show on paranormaldate.com. And the apps we should unveil, I hope, next week, the Android app that should be done and ready to go. You might be able to pick that up in your Google store. I'll let you know about that. Then we work on the iPhone app. And I'm going to come back with more in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's that time to thank all of you who listen to Coast on our 615 radio stations across North America. Thank you so much for everything you do, the support over the years. Coast Insiders, thank you so much. And then XM Serious Talk, channel 146. How about the various chat rooms out there? Into Infinity, Fantastic Form 2, Imaginative World, Sorcery, IRC, those who follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, Yahoo Chats, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. A marvelous time. By the way, we've got Lisa Gar for you on, let's say, Saturday, and George Knapp on Sunday, and then I'll be back on Monday for you here on Coast to Coast. Tom, you've got a text for us and a quick question.
We do. Last one of the night. This is from Raffy in Louisville, Kentucky.
Raffy, I like that.
George, what did you do with the penny that you hated getting at Halloween?
I don't remember.
You didn't say that.
What could you get for a penny in those days?
Well, no, but you could put it in your piggy bank.
Could you buy? I didn't have a piggy bank. I ran the Federal Reserve at the age of 12. Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember what I do with the penny. I guess it could buy what? A little piece of licorice or something?
But you didn't like it.
No, I wanted something of substance. I wanted candy.
Do you think the people that gave stuff that we didn't like apples or stuff, were they like really trying to make the kids be healthy, or were they just being like cheap and not buying candy?
They were being cheap.
You think so?
Yeah, no doubt. At least that's what we thought as a kid. Anyways, thanks, Tom. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.